You asked, we answered. Many of you have asked that each show on the Man of God Network be transitioned to its own RSS feed on iTunes or the podcast app that you use. We've heard your request. Each show on the Man of God Network is now available on its own unique RSS feed. This makes it easier to search for previous episodes, yet all of our shows are still connected on one channel. You can find this by searching the Man of God by CBT Seminary channel on iTunes. If you've enjoyed our content, please consider subscribing to each show on the Man of God Network channel as we move content over. And thanks for listening to the Man of God Network, brought to you by Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary.
You have tuned in to the Men of God podcast, a ministry of Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary in Owensboro, Kentucky. I want to give you a little introduction to this short 19-minute clip, the full sermon of which I narrated in three different parts for the narrated Puritan site at sermonaudio.com, and that is, while I was reading this, I thought that these couple of paragraphs were the perfect answer to the fearful threat of artificial intelligence. There's been a lot of news lately about AI, and that is that the designers of this don't even know what they have created, and they make such threats that hang over us that this is not brought under control. They don't know what the end could be, even the end of civilization, which from a Christian worldview is really kind of foolish, because we know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And Jonathan Edwards, and who would think we'd turn to a sermon from 1740 with as good an answer to this threat as any I have come across, where he says, "Spiritual darkness increases with the increase of learning. God will again make foolish the wisdom of this world, and will, as it were, say in his providence, 'Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world?' The judgment on man, when inflicted, is commonly for the contempt and abuse of gospel light, which has been offered, for the commission of presumptuous sins, and for being obstinate in sin, and resisting the Holy Spirit, and many gracious calls and counsels, warnings and reproofs. Who the particular persons are that are thus judicially given up of God to the blindness of their minds is not known to men. But we have no reason to suppose that there are not multitudes of them, and most in places of the greatest gospel light. There is no manner of reason to suppose that this judgment, which is spoken of in Scripture, is in a great measure peculiar to those old times, as there were many who fell under it in the times of the prophets of old, and in the days of Christ and his apostles. So doubtless there are now also, and all the persons are not known. Yet doubtless there may be more reason to fear it concerning some than others. All who are under the power of the blindness of their own minds are miserable, but such as are given up to this blindness are especially miserable, for they are reserved and sealed over to the blackness of darkness forever." So here's an excerpt from the sermon, "Man's Natural Blindness and the Things of Religion." The conclusion of "Men's Natural Blindness and the Things of Religion" is an address to sinners. The consideration of what has been said of the desperate blindness which possesses the hearts of us all naturally may well be terrifying to such as are yet in a Christless condition in this place of light, where the gospel has been so long enjoyed, and where God has in times past so wonderfully poured out his Spirit. Let such persons, for their awakening, consider the following things: that they are blinded by the God of this world. Their blindness is from hell. This darkness which natural men are under is from the Prince of Darkness. This the Apostle says expressly of those who remain in unbelief and blindness under the gospel. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that do not believe. They belong to the kingdom of darkness. In that darkness which reigns in their souls, the devil reigns, and he holds his dominion there. 2, consider how God in this word manifests his abhorrence and wrath towards those who remain so sottishly blind and ignorant in the midst of light. How does God speak of them? Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, to whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. The ox knows his owner, and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Ah, sinful nation, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. It is a people of no understanding. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. My people are foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in the house of Judah, saying, Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence? Consider how much willfulness there is in your ignorance. Sinners are ready wholly to excuse themselves in their blindness, whereas, as observed already, the blindness that naturally possesses the hearts of men is not a merely negative thing, but they are blinded by the deceitfulness of sin. There is a perverseness in their blindness. There is not a mere absence of light, but a malignant opposition to the light. As God says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Christ observes that everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, and that this is their condemnation, that light is come into the world. Yet men love darkness rather than light. And I may appeal to your consciences whether you have not willfully rejected the many instructions you have had, and you have refused to hearken, whether you have not neglected to seek after the light, and neglected your Bible, whether you have not been a very negligent hearer of the word preached, and neglected other proper means of knowledge, whether you have not neglected to cry to God for that wisdom which you need, yea, have you not resisted the means of knowledge? Have you not resisted and quenched the motions of the Spirit, which at times you have had? You have taken a course to make yourself more and more hardened in heart by stifling the convictions of your own conscience and doing contrary to the light of it, in which you have done those things that have tended to sear your conscience and make yourself more and more senseless and sottish. Consider, what is the course that God will take to teach those who will not be taught by the instructions of His Word? He will teach them by briars and thorns, and by the flames of hell. The natural man will remain to all eternity ignorant of the excellency and loveliness of God's nature, and so will have no spiritual knowledge. Yet God, in another world, will make them thoroughly to understand many things which senseless, unawakened sinners are sottishly ignorant of in this world. Their eyes, in many respects, shall be thoroughly open in hell. Their judgments will be rectified. They shall be of the same judgment with the godly. They shall be convinced of the reality of those things which they would not be convinced of here. Is a being of God, His power, holiness, and justice, that the Scriptures are the Word of God, that Christ is the Son of God, and that time is short and uncertain. They will be convinced of the vanity of the world, of the blessed opportunity they had in the world, and how much it is men's wisdom to improve their time. We read of the rich man, who was so sottishly blind in this world, that in hell he lift up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in its bosom, with many men, alas, the first time they open their eyes is in hell. God will make all men to know the truth of those great things which he speaks of in his word, one way or another, for he will vindicate his own truth. He has undertaken to convince all men, they who will not be convinced in this world, by the gentle and gracious methods which God uses with them now, shall be convinced hereafter by severe means. If they will not be convinced for salvation, they shall be convinced by damnation. God will make them know that he is the Lord, and that he will make them know that he bears rule. Consume them in wrath, that they may not be, and let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that you, whose name is Jehovah, are the Most High over all the earth. What great care we had need all have, that we be not deceived in manners of religion, if our hearts are all naturally possessed with such an extreme brutish ignorance and blindness in things of religion, and we are exceedingly prone to delusion, then surely great care ought to be taken to avoid it. For that we are naturally prone to delusion shows our danger. But the greater our danger of any calamity is, the greater had our watchfulness need to be. Let us therefore be hence warned to take heed that we be not deceived about our duty, about our own hearts, about our ways, about our state, and about our opportunities. Thousands are deceived in these things, and thousands perish by these means. Multitudes fall on our right hand and on our left, and are ruined eternally by their delusion in these things. How foolish a thing is it for men to lean to their own understanding and trust their own hearts? If we are so blind, then our own wisdom is not to be depended on. And that advice of the wise man is most reasonable. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. And he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. They, therefore, are fools who trust to their own wisdom, and will question the mysterious doctrine of religion, because they cannot see through them, and will not trust to the infinite wisdom of God. Let us therefore become fools, be sensible of our own natural blindness and folly. There is a treasure of wisdom contained in that one sentence. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise, seeing our own ignorance. And blindness is the very step towards having true knowledge. If any man think he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Let us ask wisdom of God. If we are so blind in ourselves, then knowledge is not to be sought for out of our own stock, but must be sought from some other source. And we have nowhere else to go for it but to the fountain of light and wisdom. True wisdom is a precious jewel, and none of our fellow creatures can give it to us, nor can we buy it with any price we have to give. It is a sovereign gift of God. The way to obtain it is to go to him, sensible of our weakness and blindness and misery on that account. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, so we may learn what must be the thing which will bring to pass those glorious days of light, which are spoken of in God's word. Though mankind be fallen into such darkness, and the world be mostly in the kingdom of darkness, yet the scripture often speaks of a glorious day wherein light shall fill the earth. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, in gross darkness of people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. and the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And he'll destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. The knowledge of God shall fill the earth, as the waters cover the sea. But what we have heard, we may on good grounds conclude that whenever this is accomplished, it will not be effected by human learning, or by the skill or wisdom of great men. What has been observed of this learned age is a presumptive evidence of it, in which spiritual darkness increases with the increase of learning. God will again make foolish the wisdom of this world, and will, as it were, say in his providence, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world?" When this shall be accomplished, it will be by a remarkable pouring out of God's own Spirit, with the plain preaching of the gospel of his Son, the preaching of the spiritual, mysterious doctrine of Christ crucified, which to the learned men of this world is foolishness. Those doctrines which are now the stumbling block of this learned age, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It will not be by the enticing words of man's wisdom, but by the demonstration and of power. Not by the wisdom of this world, nor by the princes of this world, to come to nothing, but by the gospel that contains the wisdom of God and a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which none of the princes of this world who have nothing to enlighten them, but their own learning, know anything of. The Spirit of God, who searches all things, even the deep things of God, must reveal it. For let natural man be never so worldly wise and learned, they receive not the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to them, nor can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This great effect, when it is accomplished, will be a glorious effect indeed. And it will be accomplished in such a manner as most remarkably to show it to be the work of God. And his only, it will be a more glorious work of God than that which we read of in the beginning of Genesis. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So we may learn the misery of all such persons as are under the power of that darkness which naturally possesses their hearts. There are 2 degrees of this misery. 1. That of which all who are in a natural condition are the subjects of. This doctrine shows that all such as are in a natural condition are in a miserable condition, for they are in an extremely dark and blind condition. It is an uncomfortable living in darkness. What a sorrowful state would we all be in if the sun should no more rise upon us, and the moon were to withdraw her shining, and the stars to be put out, and we were to spend the rest of our time in darkness. The world would soon perish in such darkness. It was a great plague in Egypt, when they had a total darkness for 3 days. There who are deprived of sight, are deprived of the most noble of the senses, to have no benefit of external light. One of the most excellent and needful of all the things which God has made in the visible creation. But they who are without spiritual sight and light are destitute of that which is far more excellent and necessary. That natural men are not sensible of their blindness, and the misery they are under by reason of it is no argument that they are not miserable. For it is very much the nature of this calamity to be hid from itself, or from those who were under it. Fools are not sensible of their folly. Solomon says a fool is wiser in his own conceit than 7 men that can render a reason. The most barbarous and brutish heathen are not sensible of their own darkness, are not sensible, but they enjoy its great light, and have as good understanding of things as the most enlightened nations in the world. But secondly, another degree of this misery is of those who were judicially given up of God to the blindness of their own minds. The scripture teaches us that there are some such. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear indeed, and understand not, and see indeed, and perceive not, make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert, and be healed. This judgment, when inflicted, is commonly for the contempt and abuse of light, which has been offered, for the commission of presumptuous sins, and for being obstinate in sin, and resisting the Holy Spirit, in many gracious calls and counsels, warnings and reproofs, who the particular persons are, that are thus judicially given up of God to the blindness of their minds, is not known to men. But we have no reason to suppose that there are not multitudes of them, and most in places of the greatest light. There is no manner of reason to suppose that this judgment, which is spoken of in Scripture, is in a great measure peculiar to those old times, as there were many who fell under it in the times of the prophets of old, of Christ and his apostles. So doubtless, there are now also, and though the persons are not known, yet doubtless there may be more reason to fear it concerning some than others, all who are under the power of the blindness of their own minds, are miserable, but such as are given up to this blindness are especially miserable. They are reserved and sealed over to the blackness of darkness forever.